when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Joy.
Yes.
So I went to lunch with my coworker, and you know the first thing she says to me when we sit down?
What?
Why didn't you tell me you have a podcast? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Welcome to Joblogs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between.
Hi, I'm Joy Marie.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is Joblogs.
Holiday episode.
Yes, welcome to our special holiday edition. If you are new to the show, welcome. It has been a very exciting and eventful year.
It is crazy
that
the year is over.
Yes. So we launched this website in January, published the first podcast episode in March. Courtney joined the team in August. And we've been cranking these things out ever since. It's just been an amazing ride. And so this episode is going to be chock full of some of our favorite, most memorable moments.
Yeah.
And it's just our way of thanking you guys for listening and kind of riding with us.
Definitely. So we're going to share some memorable moments from throughout the year and also kind of share our wishes for next year.
Yes.
Should be fun.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. So it's time to clock in, which is the part of the show that we do every week where we kind of check in with each other to see how we're doing, see what's going on in terms of work and our personal lives. So I have a question for you today.
I'm always afraid.
And this is when I launched Joblogs in January. This was kind of the first post that I put out there on Instagram. I had like 10 followers. But the question was, what was your proudest moment this year? So I want to ask you the same thing because it's kind of where we started. What was your proudest moment?
That's hard because legit, I do not remember this year. I just don't. Like, so much has happened. It's too much. So ask me again next episode. I'm definitely going to take some time to reflect over this holiday break. And I think everyone should because I've done some, I just done crazy amount of work.
Yeah.
And I just really want to think about, like, appreciate what I've accomplished and kind of plot on what's next.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a couple of ideas.
What's your
for
proud?
Say school, doing this, working full time. I mean, you were doing it, girl.
Yeah,
so.
It's a lot. But you know what? We're in a really good space. And that's one thing I'm appreciating because I am 28, which age is not a thing for me at all. Like, my cousins asked me over Thanksgiving, like, how old are you? Because I'm the baby cousin.
Yeah. Oh.
And they're like, how old are you now? And I had to get a calculator because I don't know. it doesn't matter.
Tracking it after, like, 25.
Unless the guy at the bodega asks. Like, I don't know. But I was, like, thinking because, you know, some people, like, when I was in high school, like, this seemed old.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited because a lot of the people I look up to, whether it's Ava DuVernay or Lin-Manuel or freaking Beyonce, like, they really hit their stride when they were, like, in their mid-30s. So I'm all about prepping for
I'm excited.
Mid-30s.
I'm excited for 30.
I'm laying the groundwork, so I'm going to get it together.
Yeah.
How are you prepping for 2016? Do you have any, like, plans or wishes?
Yeah, you know, I don't think I am. I'm definitely not one of those people that's, like, January 1st lays out the resolutions. I think I've started mentally preparing for everything that I'd like to do next year. So next year to me is really about, like, hitting full stride with things. You know, we've talked about getting really excited. We've got a good flow going here. So, you know, you guys heard it first, but we've talked about maybe doing an event live and in person, which is, like, terrifying to me, like, being in front of
that's
people.
That's good, though. You're putting it out in the universe. We're going to hold you accountable.
That's, you know, like you saying that, that's honestly the theme of 2015. I just like said a bunch of stuff and I said it on the internet and like we're too old to like not be following through with things at this point. So like I said it in front of people who like are probably gonna clock me.
Yeah. That's real.
And that's really what this year was about. Like I just put things out there and I was just like, you know what? I'm too old to like not follow through with this.
Yeah. If I have to be accountable for anything, I would say a couple of things I want to do in 2016. I want to take an acting class. I will probably drag you there.
Oh, fun. I'm with it.
I need to work out more. And I also want to do more like story slams. Mm. I did one. You invited me to do one.
Yes.
For Madison Collective.
It was so good.
Yeah. So if you guys know of any, like send them my way.
I'm going to link your story slam so people can hear. It was really good.
So family, can I share something? The fascination with black hair has just really gotten out of control. It's a burden at this time. And not because it takes like half a good Sunday to moisturize your skin. It's because like when I get a new hairstyle, there's this dread that comes over me. Because I know when I'm gonna work the next day. And it's gonna be a thing.
Yes.
Like a whole thing. Like if you hit that front door like, with a cute blowout or Brian did like fresh box braids, and it's like David Blaine came to work.
Like, 2016 is gonna be about like the baby kind of growing up and getting toddler legs and hitting the stride, so I'm excited.
Yeah, but 2016 is not here just yet, so let's take a journey through time.
Okay,
2015,
let's do it.
All right, so we selected, we're going to play a few clips, our favorite clips from our past. How many episodes are we on now?
It's technically been like 15, 16 at this point.
That's crazy.
It's 10 like full episodes, but we have the mini-sodes now
too. Yeah, that's true.
So.
Okay. So, Joy, you go first. What's the first clip that you're sharing?
Yeah. So, you know, I got to start at the beginning. So the first one has to be episode one of the podcast that we published in March. At the time, I was hosting on my own.
I'm so proud.
I know. And we spoke with Gina and Wei, who are the co-founders of a clothing line here in New York City called Avantour. And what I really loved about this episode one is that, like, I started something. Adrian, our producer, who's over back in his little control room, you know, I'd reached out to him and I was like, I'm thinking about this thing. And then I didn't really follow up. I'd reached out to him the previous year and I didn't really follow up. So he emails me and he's like, hey, so like, what's going on with this project?
Holds her accountable.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like it kind of just happened that way. Like I didn't mean for it to happen and it kind of just happened and it was like, okay, this is real. We have real guests. But what I really loved about that particular episode was just like, I was interviewing them with no prior experience. They had started a clothing line with no prior fashion experience. So listening back to it, the theme of that episode was really about just getting started, just jumping into your dreams and your visions. So if you're listening to this, you know, I really encourage you. We've talked about this in the past, like go for it, go for whatever it is that's in your mind, because 16 episodes later, here we are. So the clip that I'm going to play is one I really love, where Wei and Gina talk about their drive and determination for making their partnership successful, which makes me think about you and I, and also the traits they were looking for in each other as business partners.
Cool.
Let's roll the clip.
I think that we were immediately drawn to one another just because, I don't know, if you see, you know, a crate of red apples, you can immediately tell when there's a green one. So, like, we both sort of stood out.
Yeah. We were both green.
We were so green. So I think that, you know, we had this shared interest of fashion. I think Gina was probably interested in fashion long before I was, because she was interested in fashion as a child. And for me, I was, that interest sort of grew over time. So at my last agency, I started to work with different designers, helping them advertise and helping them with their social strategy. So designers like Rachel Roy and Yossi Samra. So I started to work with them, and I realized that I had a strong passion for it. And then I decided that I wanted to learn how to sew. So I started taking sewing classes at FIT just to learn on the side. And I wasn't really sure what I was going to do with it. But there was one night when Gina and I, we went to an exhibit at, I think it was the Brooklyn Museum.
Yeah.
And Gina was just like, why don't we start something together? Wow. And I was like, I don't know. And Gina had asked me, you know, twice before that. I was like, I don't know. We're such good friends. I'm not sure I want to do that. I don't want to ruin our relationship.
Right.
But then at that time, whenever she asked, I was like, you know, this, it feels right. And I was ready to start something. She was ready to start something. And because we had that shared interest, we just decided to jump in, and we didn't care that we didn't know everything about fashion. We didn't care that we weren't pattern makers or what, you know, whatever else goes along with that. We just knew that we could do it. We knew that we would figure out a way to make it work.
All right. Well, my first clip to share is episode 6. We talked to Devin N. Williams. Mm-hmm. She's a software engineer, life coach, and former NBA Wizard Girl. Mm-hmm. And we talked to her about cultivating your personal brand. I love what she had to say about making yourself stand out in a room and also being prepared to show your receipts, a la Whitney Houston. You and I were talking about, like, as you move up to mid-level and senior positions, really you're expected to put yourself out there more. And Ms. Williams had some great advice for handling those challenges that come along with that.
Yeah, she did.
When I speak to people, when I talk to people, then I'm putting my best representative forward. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that people do dismiss you. And in the workplace, I used to not share with people. I still don't, that I was a dancer, you know, a professional dancer, because there are stigmas or stereotypes that come with that, or people assume that you're less competent, or that you're here for some reason other than your ability. Mm-hmm. And so I really don't go out of my way to share those things all the time. But what I've come across just as a woman in general and a woman of color in general is that people will treat you as though you're not even in the room. Mm-hmm. So you have to be bold enough to really take the chance and to take the steps to make yourself visible in a room. Yeah. And you have to do it in a way that is respectable, but that also makes people raise one eyebrow. And the only way that you can do that is if you're always prepared. Mm. And that's what I've learned, is that I'm not the smartest person. I'm no genius, but I work very hard. And so when it's my time to show up and it's my time to be present, I'm always ready. Mm. And that's something that I've had to really, you know, hold close to myself and push myself with, that you don't have the opportunity to come in and not be prepared.
What does that look like, Devin? What does preparation look like in the workplace?
Let me tell you, preparation. Okay, I'll give you an example. Something that happened recently. So, essentially, I just would like to recommend to anyone in any field that you go above and beyond to keep your own records. Because what people will try to do is not only take credit for things that you've done, but also throw you under the bus. You know, if there's something, if there's a negative light on them, they're going to try to pull you into it, like, oh, well, you know, she didn't do this, or, you know, well, that part of it didn't get done because of her. No. Absolutely not. So, you know, in that situation, I was able to go back into my own records that I keep meticulously, and say, oh, no, on this date, this is the work that I did. Mm. And on these dates, I was not here, or this work was assigned to someone else.
Right.
And was able to prove that. And really not even in a manner where I needed to, because, you know, the person in authority at the time already knew that it wasn't true. Yeah. You know, they're like, yeah. I know you. I know your work. I know what you do. I already know that doesn't make sense. But just because I needed people to understand that there will never be a time where you think that you can come against me with nonsense and that I won't be prepared.
Right.
And that was a message I needed to send across the board. And it was sent very well.
All right. So I'm going to keep it chronological here. and the next episode that I really, really loved was episode 2, which featured another one of my best friends, Erin Stiles, mutual friend of ours from Maryland. and I really loved this episode because obviously she was a friend of mine. So the chemistry, again, was really, really great.
Well.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard that from a lot of people. And I think, like, after recording that, again, it was just, like, me and her for, like, an hour-long interview. But after recording that and getting the feedback from everyone, I was like, you know what? This is, like, the tone the show should be, just, like, with friends and conversational. And I love that because that sparked and kind of, like, ignited this thing in me that kind of led to us talking and this happening now. So I really love it. And thank you, Erin, for joining us. But she also happens to be a corporate communications public relations professional.
Yeah.
She's had experience at NBC and entertainment television, working on some really cool shows and projects. So in that episode, she shared a lot of really tangible, like, tactical feedback for young professionals interested in that field about internships, about the interview process. And so in this clip, she's talking about her process for selecting her internships in college and some considerations to keep in mind when you're doing that.
Sure, because even in college, social media isn't what it is today, obviously. I mean, I started college in 2006 and Facebook was a big thing, but LinkedIn might have been around at the time, but people weren't using it. And I think that's what a lot of people would use now to see people's career trajectories plainly and easily. A lot of it was seeing my friends and people that I did the SNL standby line with, getting internships, and also the opportunities that I got from my counselor at NYU. So, you know, the job postings that they had there.
Yeah.
NYU really pushes doing internships. You're right here in the city. I think it's something you should 100% take advantage of if you go to a school in a major city.
Yeah.
Especially one that caters to what you want to do for a living. It doesn't have to be a big school. So just following those and being proactive about seeking opportunities and letting people know what I'm interested in.
How did those internships play a role in getting the PAGE program?
Oh, they were the reason why I got into the PAGE program.
Yeah,
I interned at NBC twice. So, like I said, in the media communications department and then later at the Today Show. And the recommendation letters that I got from my supervisors at those positions were the reason why I got the position.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Moving on down the line, episode 7, we met with Philadelphia-based probation and parole officer Yana Brown. Mm-hmm. Now, Yana might be the most adorable PO ever. And I love what she had to say about setting the tone for establishing a relationship of respect with her clients.
Yeah.
And especially as a woman, like, you're always told that you need to be more aggressive in the workplace.
Yeah.
And I love this little fun fact. You know those big shoulder pads in the 80s? The reason that was a fashion statement is because women were just entering the workplace, so they wanted to have, like, that stature of a man. And they look ridiculous. And similarly, I see a lot of, like, women trying to have this, like, very testosterone-y. I don't know if that's a word. But you know what I'm
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Yeah, I get it. Like this kind of just putting off this facade that doesn't need to be there. And I just love what she had to say about making who you are your best asset. So Yana spoke to the need of, regardless of what makes you different, embracing that.
Nice. So as a woman, as a beautiful Black woman, hailing from Jamaica, how has that played a factor in how you're perceived by clients and just, you know, working towards getting that respect?
Absolutely. Like I said, the moment I meet you for the first time, I have to set the tone. Because if I don't set the tone, it's going to take a little while for them, for me to get that respect.
Yeah.
Because like I said, when they first walk in, you know, I'm pretty short. You know, I'm pretty tiny. So they're looking at me like, I'm twice your age, or right, or they're sizing me up like, what are you doing? And then I have to sit them down like, listen, I've been doing this for a long time now. And, you know, once the conversation gets going, like I said, by the end of the meeting, I have that respect.
Would you advise professionals in various industries, right? Because that's something we all kind of deal with and come across, whether it's being a woman or being of a certain race or background or height or age or whatever the case is. We all deal with some unconscious bias. Would you recommend that as an approach to, if you're feeling that or experiencing that, sitting down and establishing
ground rules? I think that's going to happen whether you like it or not, honestly. You're always either going to be too small, too big, too pretty, not pretty enough. But in the kind of, you know, the kind of job I'm in, you know, I don't know what the average probation officer is supposed to look like, but however, I may not look like the average probation officer. But like I said, I am female and I am young. So yes, I have to fight for that respect. Whereas, you know, a male who is 7 foot tall doesn't have to fight for. But then again, when you walk in and you see that 7 foot male, the guard that was up in front of me is now up to here. You know what I mean? So it's kind of a lose-lose situation when they walk in. You know, no matter who you are, you just have to set the tone. And for me, I'm trying to set a comfortable you know, tone. Like, I don't want you to be afraid of me. Because I'm, like I said, I'm not here to work against you. So, yes, I definitely have to fight for that respect more than others in my job.
Okay, so I kind of cheated with this one.
As usual.
It's not a clip, but it is definitely one of my favorite moments of the year. So this is an update from Alex, or AG the Giant on Twitter, who I don't know if you guys remember in a previous episode wrote in about informational interviews and whether or not you're ever too senior in your career to, request them. And so I really, really like this because this update represents to me kind of like the whole reason why we do this or why I do it and, you know, why it makes it worthwhile on top of like all of our other obligations is just hearing from you guys and like hearing about your achievements. So this is the update. It reads, I'm emailing to share with both of you that I got a job. And I sincerely feel like part of this triumph is due from the help I got from JobLogs a few months back regarding cover letters. I just recently moved from LA to Chicago with nothing lined up, but something was telling me it was the right move to make, so I did it. I was on the job hunt when I realized I needed help with my cover letter. It's my least favorite part of the job application process, so I know that means it's also my weak point. I searched cover letters on the JobLogs site, and I found a blog post about how to combine your interests and make your transferable skills stand out. This resource led me to the 43 Questions ebook, which led me to just feeling overall confident in my job search. And long story short, I got a job I really wanted and felt confident in the whole process. It was really comforting to hear you two ladies in my earbuds during my transition period. It is always inspiring and motivating to me because when I hear you two going through the podcast segments, it makes the possibilities for myself feel that much closer. Like, yes, this is the stuff I can do, and this is the level I can get to professionally. So shout outs to y'all. You got my rave review, and if I could, you would totally be hired. Aww. Have a good week.
I am weeping.
I love that so much. So thank you, Alex. Thank you for always being so engaging, so supportive of what we're doing. Thank all of you guys for the feedback.
I know. Like, we went to events, and we're like, people come up, and we're like, I listen to the show. I love the show. I'm like, what?
I'm like, stop lying. Why are you lying? Like, this isn't real. It's crazy. It's
so
crazy.
Appreciate it.
So thank you. What's yours?
Next up, my next moment, it's you. I'm sampling some advice you provided in episode 8.
Aw.
If you guys haven't figured out by now. I have a lot of anxiety. Like, I just, my brain does the most, especially in social settings when I don't have a microphone in front of my face. And for this reason, I hate networking. I just hate it. I also hate that it just often feels like very superficial and just a lot of BS that comes with it. So in episode 8, Joy dropped some knowledge that I found really helpful. And here you are talking about how to erase the formality out of networking.
You introduced me to Sakita, who you guys know on the internet as like Miss Success. And I've been introduced to a number of different like internet entrepreneurs. Sakita's in PR specifically. She has her own PR firm. But I like to just say like, hey, what's your number? Or can I get you on Google Chat so we can just talk more informally? Yeah. And I'm completely comfortable, as I've done, shooting a text like, hey, Sakita, did you see this? Or what do you think of this PR thing?
I think that because I'm making it like, once I reach out, like, now we got to hang out. Now we got to do all this stuff. And it's sometimes it's just like saying, hey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like, oh, I saw this thing that was really interesting. Okay. And because I'm on social media, too, like I'll at somebody on social, you know, I'll send something to their inbox or DM them when something's relevant. I added Snapchat, you know, you guys know is my new favorite thing. So I added a couple of other podcasters on there and they accept messages. So if they snap something that's interesting, I'm like, oh, hey, I've been there. Or, oh, hey, girl, that hair is really cute. Sometimes, you know, people don't like that because they're like, who are you? I don't know you. But for the most part, I found a lot of people to be really receptive and responsive. So, yeah, so that's another strategy, I guess, kind of taking away some of the formality and being conversational and just connecting on things we all relate to, family, children, events, you know, industry topics versus like, you know, let's talk about your job and how did you get there and are there any openings at your company or whatever the case is, because then people get guarded, I feel.
Okay, cool. You know what it is, though, because like I'm a raised only child, introvert, Cancer, thinks a lot.
So you like, think a lot
girl,
about
get
the
out
interactions.
Your
yeah,
just say, hey.
It's tough. It's tough. Yeah. It could be tough. And also, you got to find your preferred method of communication. So when I feel like when you're trying to cater to other styles too much, that becomes more stressful, especially for introverts. So like, what do you like to do? Is it the texting? Is it in person? Is it a phone call? So yeah, keep me posted. So this next one.
Also, hate when you do this like giggle grin thing. I just don't like
she
it.
She knows. She knows how to read me. Well, this one's you. So
Shut up!
Yeah, I know, right? No, but this one was you. So this one is episode 4, which is the first episode that you came on. This is going to be my last memorable moment. And obviously it's my biggest one because to me, like, this was such a huge turning point in everything. Like, not just the show and the way things sound and obviously, like, the segments and content we're able to create for you guys, but, like, also my mentality and my, like, idea of the possibilities of what we could create together. And so I'm not going to get sentimental, but there were so many gems in that episode from our interview with Morgan DeBon, who is the CEO of Blavity.
Yeah, awesome.
But I want to talk, like, a little bit about the backstory because that episode, like leading up to you joining for the first time, we had several meetings. We met with a producer. We had, you know, like Excel documents and charts, and we thought about the segments and you brainstormed.
We had
and you
laptops out.
Laptops. You came up with, you know, hired and fired, and you really pushed. You pushed me and pushed back on me. Like, you were like, well, what if we just think a little bit harder about this and how does this tie in? So this was really the first episode that, like, I don't know. It was just awesome to create something like that together. Yeah. And you really pushed me even with the guest choice. I mean, I would never have reached out to Morgan on my own, but you put her on our guest wish list and it actually happened.
Wow.
So thank you for that. Thank you for always pushing me. Thank you for helping me to implement processes. And, you know, this clip, I'm just going to go ahead and play it. But it's a clip where, oh, I got to talk about that. So I picked this clip, which is you're hired and fired, that episode.
Oh my God, I don't even remember
because
this.
I was mortified. So you, I'm going to play it in a sec, but I remember being mortified, and this really represented like me kind of relinquishing control about how like stushy and proper and like formal.
That's my best friend. Yes.
Yes, yes. And like when I went home and heard it and the way people reacted to it, I was like, you know what? Breathe. Like things don't always have to be like your way or your ideas.
Because and you all are professional, but yes, you're a little ratchet.
So. So yeah, this is one of my favorite clips.
Hired is, I'm so excited for you here, Tokyo Vanity. I don't know if you, do you know who this is?
No.
Okay. Are you familiar with the meme, that's my best friend?
Go that's best, my friend. Best friend. That's my, yes.
She finna.
Yes. Who's that?
Tokyo Vanity. Okay. Oh my goodness, so she is from the underbellies of the internet where the children play and I don't go. So like Vine or Instagram or something okay. like that. And so she had that. That was just a video she made on Instagram and okay. it just turned into this huge meme. Like just Google that's my best friend and you'll see it. Like it's reached peak meme. Like yes. the Kardashians are doing it. Like it's saturated the market.
Okay.
All right. So then Mama came
Wait,
out.
But can we pause okay. at the fact that Kardashians are peak or...
That's culture saturation. Oh, okay. Like all you, right. I mean, don't knock the hustle.
All right,
that
all
is,
right.
That's okay, saturation fine. Right there. All right. So this is my thing about memes. Like they catch on, and then the person who started it is usually like left behind. Like maybe you get some, you know, new followers.
That's true.
But like that's all you're gonna get out of this.
That's true.
Miss Tokyo came out, and she was like, you know what? Here's a link to iTunes because I've made this into a full song.
Really?
Yes.
Tokyo's getting paid.
She's getting paid.
For a meme.
For a meme.
Now, why would I pay for Listen, something that I can get for free?
Because it's like 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Oh. Like the meme is 10 seconds.
Okay.
The song is extended.
Okay.
It's everything. She has a music video.
Oh, I love.
You have to see this music video.
Yes.
Like she's in a tutu running through New Orleans.
All right. This has just been a very emotional hour. It's not even an hour, but still. I want to wrap it up mm-hmm. with, this is a clip from episode 9. We're getting into the modern age yeah. of job blogs. And we invited visual artist JT List to the studio. That was really special for me. Very full circle moment. Mm-hmm. This guy who I interviewed as my first print. Mm-hmm. article, like coming back for this new phase of life and just seeing how his growth like parallel to my growth yeah. is all just very yeah. you know that
one in circle
yeah so he offers some great advice on being disciplined in your work and not letting inspiration pass you by, and I've kind of tried to put that into practice. Mm-hmm. I get up an hour early now, you guys. Oh, nice. Which I never thought I would be able to do. And that's just my little way of showing the universe mm-hmm. that I'm making cultivating my creativity a priority and mm-hmm. kind of to send more ideas my way. So here's JT.
I try and make it a point to, and it's, I'm very much I base a lot of my stuff off the energy, what I'm feeling, mm-hmm. you know, because the energy I have when I'm creating something visually is completely different than when I'm writing something. Mm. And I have to be aware of that. So at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I might be getting ready to go to bed. And then all of a sudden I feel this. And there was yeah. like, there was this TED talk I saw that made total sense. It was this woman who was, she was talking about a woman who was this poet back in like the early 1900s. And she would be like farming in her field. And she would feel this like energy kind of coming. Mm. And she knew it was her poem that she was supposed to be writing. So she would run home and get that pen to the paper mm-hmm. because if that didn't happen, if she didn't harness that,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that energy would go yeah. somewhere else. Yeah. And it's like, well, no, that's mine. Yeah. I want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to like just be open to what you're feeling
mm-hmm.
and try and make it a point to, even if you don't, if it's not something that you're ready to post up or mm-hmm. it's not your favorite work, just mm-hmm. to continue to practice and keep creating, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard, you know. It's yeah. hard to stay disciplined, especially yeah. when you're, you know, working at home and or yeah. working at a different space. It's
yeah.
it's a practice for sure.
Definitely.
All right, so those were our fondest moments with so many honorable mentions. I mean, every single guest,
thank you to all you guys
episode. Yes, we really appreciate you. It's been such a ride, such an amazing ride. Mm-hmm. And also shout outs to everyone that we've met, every follower on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. We see y'all. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. We love you. So thank you.
Oh, so you guys, we're taking a little break, like a little winter break.
As you should to rest as well. Up.
Yeah, my office is closed and so are we. So I hope that this little trip down memory lane inspires you to kind of check out the archive. Mm-hmm. We'll be back January 4th.
Mm-hmm. And every Monday.
Yes.
Next year. Enjoy your family. Yeah, be safe. Take time off. If you're away from family,
get some rest.
Get some virtual family. Yeah. virtual Connect family. With us. Connect That's with true. Us. I'm away from my family this holiday season as well. They are in Europe. So, we'll be around. We'll be around. As always, you can find us at joblogs.com, at joblogs on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and sign up for our weekly newsletter at joblogs.com/weekly.
Awesome gift for your inbox, if I say so myself. Mm-hmm. I am at Cleave Out Loud, CLEVE, on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat.
And I am Hamiss Parker, MissParkerr, sharing lots of inspiration.
And like random dance breaks. Lately.
Dance breaks, you know.
Which I live for.
Office fiascos, journeys, adventures, whatever you want to call them. But I'm on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter as well. A special thanks as we wrap up this year to all of our amazing past guests.
This is crazy. I'm getting Gina, emotional.
Wei, Aaron, Yushi, Morgan, Jenna, Devin, Yana, JT, Rachel. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us, taking a chance with us this year.
Definitely.
And creating amazing content. Of course, we cannot wrap this up without thanking our amazing producer, audio engineer, motivator, biker, cyclist, all around great guy, Adrian Wagner.
Yes, the little voice in our headphones gathering us every episode.
yes. And I have to thank you, Courtney,
for
being an amazing co-host, awesome friend, and always motivating me and pushing me to be greater and do better.
Well, thank you, Joy, for just inviting me to participate in this and really grinding it out. Like, they're just kind of a boss, and it's very inspiring.
Thank you. And last but not least, thank you for listening. So we'll see you guys in the new year.
See you soon. Happy New Year.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.